Today we're going to try to learn as much as we can about ritzuos of tefillin and maybe even get a little bit into the general concept of tashmishi pirushin, tashmishi mitzvah. But at least the ritzuos, hopefully, we'll get through most of it. The Gemara on Lamed Hey Amid Aleph in Maseches Menachos, where we left off, going through the various halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim, the Gemara tells us Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, about a third to a half a way down the page, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ritzuos shchoros halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim. The fact that the ritzuos need to be black is halachos of Moshe Mitzrayim. Someone asks, well, wait a second, where do we even know that you need ritzuos? Pashto says, we know you need ritzuos because the pasuk says ukshartem, you need to tie the tefillin on, so there needs to be something with which to tie them, but the ritzuos that they need to be black is halacha l'moshe misinai. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, tefillin ein koshnos on ella biminan, that the ritzuos should be made out of leather, they have to be made from the min of the tefillin. You can't just use any kind of shoelace or whatever, any sort of strap that you would use. But not only that, bein yerokos, bein shchoros, bein levanos, doesn't have to be black, it could be any color, as long as it's the right min, as long as it's made out of leather. But you can't make it red because of two concerns, Genai and Davar Acher. Okay, so I don't want to get too far into that discussion of what that is. It's obviously whenever you have such vague terminology, you're going to have a machlokas and rishonim as to what exactly the reference is. Genai of what? What is it? Davar Acher just means, the Gemara uses the term Davar Acher as to mean the unmentionable, you know, like the awful, the thing that you can't mention. Sometimes it refers to a pig, sometimes it refers to Tashmish Amita, sometimes it could refer to any number of things. It refers to Tsaras, it can mean all sorts of things. So Rashi says that the Gnai is that it's going to rub up against his skin and that it will look like he's bleeding off his skin very easily. And Davar Acher, as people will say, that he was Boa Lishtonida and the Ritzuos became red from the blood of Ishtonida. Seems very far-fetched that this is where this is how they become red. So there's a discussion in the Rishonim exactly what the Gnai and Davar Acher is, but red is no good. You don't want to make your Ritzuos red. That someone decided that it wasn't enough to have tcheles in his tzitzis. He wanted ritzuos to be made out of tcheles. Lashonos means, what's a lashon? What? Right, well, it is literally a tongue, right? So lashonos shel tcheles, one of the unique characteristics of tcheles is that you can only color wool tcheles. Tcheles doesn't take to anything else, really. It only really takes to wool. That's why the Gemara assumes that we're able to learn the concept of asei dochalos asei from tcheles b'tzitzis, because the midoraisa, a beged shel pishtan, is chayev in tzitzis, because beged in the Torah is either tzemer or pishtan. So it's machlokas rishonim and machlokas in the page of Shulchan Aruch, whether cotton begadim and other types of begadim are chayev in tzitzis, midoraisa, or only midorabanan. But according to the Shittas HaMechaber and many rishonim, only tzemer or pishtan is chayev midoraisa, because that's what a beged is. The fact that you have a mitzvah of tzitzis with tcheles on even a beged shel pishtan tells you that you need to be putting wool on pishtan. Normally, tzemer pishtan is shatnez. So you see that the mitzvah saseh is docha delo saseh. So whenever we talk about tcheles, we're always talking about wool. So apparently, this maisa was Talmud Rabbi Kiva was tying his tefillin using wool, using blue wool, using tcheles. V'lom lo davar, Rabbi Kiva didn't say anything. So Efshar also tzadik ra talmido lo michabo. He saw his Talmud doing something so off, and he didn't object. Amrlo hein lo ra'o, so he must have not seen it. V'imra'o so lo hayam anicho. If he would have seen it, there's no way he would allow that to go on, because that's ridiculous. Ma'isu b'horkenes m'noshu b'lazar ben horkenes. It was a story of Horkenes, the son of Reblazar ben Horkenes. I don't know why it has to say that. She'yakosher tfilav v'lishonos shel argaman, who was tying tefillin again with wool made out of argaman. Argaman is made out of the same thing tcheles is made out of, so it's wool dyed purple. It's a different process when you turn the murex mucus into tcheles. At some point in the process, it turns to purple, and if you abort the process at that point, it will then make argaman. So he was using that purple, a beautiful royal purple. V'lo amar lo davar, and he didn't say anything to him. Efshar also tzaddik rab now Rabbi Elazar Horkin, such a tzaddik, sees his own son tying his tefillin that way. V'lo michabo. It's unclear where they got these ideas from that, you know, that this would be a good idea to just mess around with mitzvahs. Like they know their father and their grandfather didn't do that. It's like strange, no, that they're going to start tying with tchelis and argaman. Really weird. I don't know. But it's a vim rose. So the Gemara says, no, I'm lo hein, lo rose. So there's no way he saw it. Vim rose lo yamanicho. Katani Mia, Ben Yerokos, Ben Shkaros, Ben Levanos. Leaving out the strange stories, it says that you're allowed to have ritzuos made out of leather, but green leather, and white leather, and black leather also, but it doesn't have to be black. It says, Marlo Kasha, kan mi bifnim, kan mi bachutz. That mi bifnim, the inside of the straps, don't have to be black, but the outside of the straps do have to be black. So explicit in the Gemara that it's not necessary for the inside of the straps to be black. So frankly, Gemara imi bifnim my gnai v'davaracher. Well, if it's the inside of the strap that no one sees anyway, what would be the problem of red? Gnai v'davaracher sounds like it's the impression you're going to give to other people when they see red on your tefillin. But if it's bifnim, no one's going to see red on your tefillin because it's on the inside of the strap. So what are you worried about? So it's Gemara ikazim nindim ishatchanay. Every once in a while, a little flip around. You know, you can't keep. There's always people, fixing their straps. It always flips around a little bit, so someone will catch a glimpse of the red, and then it's going to be a gnai v'davar acher. So that person is going to have the switching of the tefillin. But if it's white or green on the inside, you don't have to worry about them flipping around and people thinking that the ritzuos are made that way, because they're going to realize that it just flipped around. They're not going to get the wrong halacha out of it, because they're going to realize the tefillin must have just flipped in some way. But if they see red, then they're just going to think the worst of you. It's not about getting the wrong halacha. They're just going to think all these terrible things, that the guy's Baal Nida, the guy's Mitzoro, whatever the issues might be, they're going to think all of these terrible things. So there's a lot to talk about over here. First of all, the Gemara only talks about Ritzuos Shchoros being halachal Moshe Sinai, does not discuss whether the batim need to be black or not. Tosfos in Dibra Maschil Ritzuos, Yeshaosin batim shel tefillin miklaf lavan, the lobi mishchoros of the ritzuos, that the batim could be made out of a parchment that, you know, leather that's white, because it's only an issue of the ritzuos. You don't have to worry about the batim of the tefillin, which is wild. We always assume that the black of tefillin is halacha Moshe Sinai. The Gemara doesn't say the black of tefillin; it says the black of the ritzuos is halacha Moshe Sinai. And Tos says, yes, I make a white batim. When we start the batim, they're white, but then we paint them. We always paint them black. The Rush says that the reason we make them black is not because of halacha Moshe Sinai. We make them black. The Rush acknowledges that's what we do. Zekeli van Veyu, because that's the most beautiful way to make it. If the halacha Moshe ben Sinai is makbid, that ritzuos be black, so mistama, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu setting up for us objective beauty. That's the objective beauty of tefillin, as determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the color black. Which is interesting, because Zekeli van Veyu, is that something, I guess I don't know if we're going to have a shiur about Hidr Mitzvah as it relates to tefillin, maybe we should, but whenever you talk about making a mitzvah beautiful, is beauty in the eye of the beholder, or is there an objective standard of beauty? Meaning, I wouldn't necessarily say black is beautiful, with regards to tefillin. I wouldn't necessarily say that, oh, because it's black, that makes the tefillin so beautiful. I don't know, maybe the tchelis idea, that's great. Purple, beautiful, that's really nice. My daughter's favorite color, purple or pink, she can't decide. But still, you know, there are all these wonderful colors you can make. So subjectively, black wouldn't be beautiful. But what they're suggesting is that since there's halachot Moshe Sinai, that the ritzuos have to be black, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting an objective beauty. That, tefillin has some connection to the color black, and therefore, the more you blacken the tefillin, the more beautiful your tefillin are going to be. And that's why the batim are going to be black. And by the way, if that's the case, if you're going to really accept that cheshbon, which appears in the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, he has this cheshbon, and he takes it to the next step, which would be the back of the ritzuos being black, would also be a zekeli van veyu. It would also be a hidr mitzvah. It would be a proper hidr mitzvah. Just as much black as you can in your tefillin, which would mean, according to the Rush, and according to the way the Ravaz understands it, having the back of your ritzuos being black would be just as important as having your batin being black. Which is wild. Right? Because you know you don't know anybody whose batim aren't black, and you probably know very few people who the back of their ritzuos are black. So very, very strange. But that's what seems to emerge from the Rambam as well. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Halach Yudalit tells us the ritzuos have to be on the front, they have to be black, on the back they don't have to be black, on the bifnim, heim im hayu yarokos or levonos, ksheros, if they're yarok or lavan. What does yarok mean? So yarok doesn't always mean green. In modern Hebrew it means green. Yarok in the Gemara usually means some sort of yellowish color or something in that on that spectrum. But when we talk about something being really green, the Gemara will use the term yarok kikarti. That's where we find that. We find that by yarok kikarti. By in the beginning of brachas, but we find by esrog. The Gemara talks about an esrog hayarok is possible. So a green esrog is possible. The Gemara says, yeah, if it's really deep dark green, I don't even know if that would call it a psychological thing. Like, name sounds like green, you got to agree. But maybe it's like a thing like that, you know. More people named Phil live in Philadelphia. You know this? It's true. All right. A lot of Jacksonville. Okay. So anyway, the Larry's at work as lawyers. No one heard this? He got Adam Grant in his first book. Okay. So the halach is that if it's yarok, so yarok over the normally doesn't mean green. Or Shachter used to say Rav Salvechik when he taught Nida. So the Mishnah Nida says that dam yarok is tahar, that if a woman sees dot blood that's yarok, so it's not going to be metameh her. And Rav Shechzi said, Rav Soloveitchik said, green blood? What's that talking about? He said, Chayv Adam Lomer Blashen Rabbo. So he said it with an accent. But green blood, that's machlokas, by the way, maybe getting a little far afield over here, but whether Chayv Adam Lomer Blashen Rabbo means even with the accent. Because the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Masech Zedios, that Melohin Mayim Shuvin, how it affects a mikveh if you have Melohin Mayim Shuvin. So why do you have to say Melo Hin, a full Hin of Mayim Shuvin? Just say a Hin of Mayim Shuvin. So the Mishnah itself says Al Chayv Adam Lom Blashon Rabba, that they were quoting from Shmai Vav Talion, who were Mizera Gerim, and who they were Gerim themselves, and therefore they couldn't pronounce the letter Hey. They couldn't say Hin. It sounded like because Hey is really properly pronounced a little closer to a ches than we actually pronounce it. So it sounded like im when they would say it. Because you ever hear like a guy try to say the name like chayim or something? If it's not part of your language, like you can't, it takes a lot of practice to learn how to say it. So they couldn't say him, so it would come out like in, and no one would know what they were talking about. So they had to add extra words into their sentences to make it clear what they meant. So they would say melo hin, a full hin, so people would realize, oh, must be that referring to a measurement of some sort, and then they knew what they were talking about. Says machlokas and mefarshim and the Mishnah in Idios, whether chayv adam lomer blashon rabo is that they even said it with the accent, that they that even when the talmidim would say it over, they only said in because they didn't want to pronounce it correctly because that's not how they heard from the rebbe, or it's just that they included the word malo even though they didn't need to include the word. Okay, but anyway, so the Rambam says further, adumos lo yaseh, don't make it red, shema tahapecha ritzua gnai hulo, because the ritzua may flip over and that's going to be a gnai. Velo yiyu achari ritzua leolam. If you want to make the back of the ritzua a proper color, it should match. It should match the ketzitza. It should match the batim. So whatever color you choose to make your batim, if you're into yellow batim, so make the back of your ritzuas yellow. If you're into white batim, make the back of your ritzuas white. That's what the Rambam writes. No problem with coloring the back of the ritzuas. V'noy hu l'tfilin she'u kulon shchoros haktitza v'aritzua kula. And the Ram says, and a hidr mitzvah, a noy for tfilin, is to have as much black as he can. Both the batim, the back of the ritzuos, yeah, everything should be black. That's a beautiful hidr mitzvah. That's a nice way to make the tefillin. And again, the Ravaz explained, where does Ram get the idea that it's a hidr mitzvah? Because he's assuming hidr is objectively defined by the Ribbono Shel Olam when it comes to tefillin as being black, because there's the only color that we have, that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, with regard to tefillin, is the front of the ritzuos being black. So it must be that objectively, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defining that is the definition of hidr.
So if you have heder mitzvah, is it like a chiyuv? Because the Rosh made it sound like you have to make it black. The Rambam said like you could make it black. Thanks.
Right. So that's also in what?
The Rosh said none. So
we have Rosh on the Rosh.
The Rosh didn't say it.
At the very end of. He didn't say it.
No, he said it was a chiyuv. He said no.
Yeah.
The Mefarshim and the Rambam say they counted the mitzvahs. So the Mefarshim and the Rambam already seem to say that.
Yeah.
It's more. Definitely get more than the Rambam.
It's the
last line.
If you say it's no, that's not going to be a mitzvah. If you do
it, it's going to be a
mitzvah. It's just Mikol Makum. Oh, it's no ches, right? Mikol Makum, no tefillin who she'er kol shachar. No tefillin. It doesn't say. It doesn't say that it has to be black. And you see, what's the Lamed Aleph from the Divrei Chamudos? Does it say anything? Does it say anything?
Okay.
All right. So it's a hider mitzvah. It's a hider mitzvah to have a black, but not really that important.
Does the Rambam say it has to match the kesitah, or that it's nice?
That's nice. Where does that come from? That it should match? Is that the Rambam saying, you know, on this objective black, and he's saying, and subjectively, I think when things match, I think that's a good thing. Meaning, what would the Rambam prefer? A black back of the ritzuos, even if you have white batim, or white ritzuos if you have white batim? Because the more black you have, the more objective no you have. But if the matching seems more subjective, that seems to be the Rambam made that up, right? That having things fit together and match together is nice. You have a similar din by tzitzis, that knaf min kanaf. Some of the Rishonim understand that a knaf min kanaf doesn't just mean that the min of the strings should be the same min as the beged, but that the color of the strings should be the same color as the beged. That's why you see sometimes people wearing these wild color talesim, so they should probably have wild color. The lavan, the strings of lavan, tcheles has to be tcheles, but the strings of lavan should be probably the same wild color that the talesim are. But our minig is, the real answer is, the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is, our minig is that we wear white talesim and white strings. That's what we do to fulfill HaKanaf Min Kanaf. It's a chumrah, but it's something that we do.
Is that why there are white squares at the bottom?
Partially why, because that's they keep the knaf completely white. Also to prevent it from ripping and other things. Okay, so we have this discussion about the batim. Tosvos in Maseches Shabbos proves from the give and take in the Gemara in Shabbos that the batim have to be black. That it's not just a noy, but that it's part of the halacha l'moshe misinai. Because what happens in that Gemara in Shabbos? Gemara talks about how whenever you're making something for the sake of serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it has to be from a behemah tahorah bilvad. You have to have from a kosher animal. So Gemara says, my hilchos, what are you talking about that it has to be from a kosher animal? What, your tzitzis need to be from a kosher animal? That's not true. Tzitzis aren't from any animal. So what do we, there's a discussion why it is that the tcheles is not from a kosher animal. That's a separate discussion. It's one of the rayas against the murex tcheles, is that you're not allowed to eat murex snails. And if you always need a behemah tahora, bilvad, okay, but that's a different discussion, again, for a different time. But the Gemara says, what are we talking about that you need it to be from a behemah tahora? So the Gemara says, oh, if you're going to say the ritzuos are halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says, no, wait, the ritzuos being black is halacha l'moshe misinai. What type of animal they come from is not halacha l'moshe misinai. So it must be that it's referring to the ritzuos. The question is, what Tosfos bothered? What's the havamina? What was the Gemara thinking? That to bring in the halacha l'moshe misinai of ritzuos and say, oh, it's obvious, it's got to be from behemah Torah, because it's halacha l'moshe misinai. What, they were unaware that the halacha l'moshe misinai was that they were supposed to be shcharos, that they're supposed to be black? So Tosfos explains that the Gemara made the following assumption. That if there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, the ritzuos have to be black, just like the batim have to be black, he's adding that in, just like the batim have to be black, then probably the ritzuos have to be just like the batim with regard to behemah tahora as well. And therefore it's unnecessary to teach me, just like it's unnecessary to teach me that the batim have to be tahora, from behemah tahora, it should be unnecessary to teach me that the ritzuos have to be from behemah Torah. Because once we have halacha l'moshe misinai telling me the ritzuos have to be black, and we know, obviously, the batim have to be black, so you see that ritzuos should match the batim in their halachos, So Mela, of course the Ritzuos are going to need to be from Beima Torah once I know the Batim are from Beima Torah. So Tosus makes a critical assumption over there. He thinks that the Gemara is making an assumption that part of the Alach L'Moshe Misinai is that the Batim have to be black. When the Gemara says that Ritzuos Shcharos Alach L'Moshe Misinai, it means even Ritzuos Shcharos. But for sure the main part of the Tefillin, the Kedusha Atzma, is going to be black. Even the Ritzuos, even the Tashmishei Kedusha is going to be black. That's how Tosus understands. So what you essentially have is a three-way Machlokas Rishonim. You have Tosus over here saying that, yeah, make white Batim if you're happy, you know, if that's what floats your boat, that's perfectly good. Then you have the Rambam and the Rush that seem to assume black Batim is nice, but not necessary. It's Zekei Livan Veyu, it's beautiful, it's a greater Hidur Mitzvah, but not necessary. We've suggested that maybe the Machlokas Tosos versus Rush and the Rambam is how to define Hidur Mitzvah. Do we make objective assumptions about Hidur Mitzvah, or is Hidur Mitzvah something that's more subjective? You're going to buy an esrog and you want a very beautiful esrog. So to what extent can you use your own judgment and say, you know, I think it's beautiful. You know, once you make sure it's kosher, and all the esrogim you've ever seen in your life are probably kosher. So, you know, unless something terrible happened, unless someone like poked it or something, right? They're kosher. Half the lovim you probably used in your life aren't kosher, but all the esrogim you've probably seen in your life are kosher. That's the big joke. Everyone spends all their time picking out an esrog, and they end up with a pasul lulav. So, brachu levatala anyhow. So the hidur, how much do we leave it to you to choose? To choose the hidur, to decide on the hidur. Maybe that's part of what this machlok is about. But then we have the third shita of Tosfos Masech Shabbos and the sense of Minadin, that it's part of the Alach L'Moshe Misinai, that the batim have to be shcharos. Now, once we know that this din exists, that you need it to be black, so the Bir Alach in Sim Lam Gimel in Dibra Maschal Aval Ritzuos calls from a Sefer Truma that it needs to be hushcha l'shma, that a guy can't do it because it needs l'shma, it needs to be done l'shma, and anything that needs l'shma can't be done by a guy. The Shulchan Aruch and Ramah Lamed Gimel Dalid. Right, discusses this very issue. Find it. So it says Shulchan Aruch, Tov sheyashchirem Yisrael l'shma nevelo ein a Yehudi. Says the Ramah, Umi b'diavad kasher mishchir or habatim, aval haritzuos afil b'diavad pasul. Where does that come from? If a guy blackens the batim, that's okay b'diavad. But if a guy blackens the ritzuos, that's going to be pasul. Where's he getting that from? So Mishabura quotes, Avdiyav kashu afil ade in Yehudi desfir le dafil b'ritzuos lo binan hashachrus kalishman, v'rama sfir le d'b'ritzuos da hashachrus yalach lo shmishinai, tzarech hashachrus l'shman, you need the blackening of the ritzuos l'shman, because that's halach l'moshe misinai, and that's why a guy can't do it. Aval ba'or habatim, Dilarov poskin shachrusahu lemitzvah bialma v'loli ikuva. Why do we make our batim black? Not like Tosus and Shabbos, that it's halach l'moshe misinai, but like the Rambam, like the Rush, maybe even like Tosus here, that it's not so important, or maybe even important at all. Lekach lo binyan gam ken shachrus l'shma b'diavad, and therefore b'diavad, it's not necessary that the blackening be done l'shma. Probably if I would have asked you before you saw the sugya, what do you think is more important, the painting of the black on the batim or the painting of the black on the ritzuos? We always think the batim is like, because it's a higher kedusha, because it's closer to the parshios, that the batim are much more sensitive. So they're sensitive to certain things, but not to the blackening, based on this very straightforward machlokas rishonim that we learned. However, the raya that the Magen Avraham brings over here is a little bit odd. You know, what happens if a guy did blacken it, right? If a guy did do the hashchara, so what's your etza? Is there any way to save those ritzuos? Anything you could do if you have ritzuos that were blackened by a guy? So it says Magen Avraham, source number 5 in your sheets. Apostle, nearly the imchazar Yisrael v'hishchiran l'shman kosher. If a Jew just paints more black over the black that already exists from the guy, then it's kosher. Da'amrin we get in davchav shem kasev Hashem v'lo kitcho mavir lov kulmus v'makadsho. That if someone wrote the Shem Hashem in a Sefer Torah, shalo l'shma, no problem. Go over it again with more ink. This time do it l'shma. And boom, now it's going to be kadosh, now it's going to be good. So if you look up that Gemara in Gittin, what are you going to find? It's always important to look up the Gemara. So what are you going to find? That it's a machlokas. That it's not so much that it's good, that the Rabbanan say, no, it's no good. So the Magen Avraham says, no, I know the Rabbanan disagree, and they say that it's no good, but even the Rabbanan that disagree, it's only because de mechsi kiminumar, because it's going to make your Sefer Torah look weird. If you're going to have like a few bolded words scattered in the Sefer Torah, that the Shem Hashems that were written in the Sefer Torah are going to be bolded because you went over them twice, and every other word you only went over once, so that's going to look weird, and that's such a chisaron in the hidur of the Sefer Torah that's going to apostle it. But it's not a psul in terms of the ksav. When you look at that Shem Hashem, if l'mashal, you would bold everything, you would write over everything in the Sefer Torah, then that would be kosher. It would be fine, as long as it looks nice and it looks normal. So says Magen Avraham, it's only about the look that's a problem by the Sefer Torah. How's your tefillin going to look if you paint it black again on top of the ritzuos? The same, it'll be fine. And therefore you see that even though it's already black, and you might think that you're accomplishing nothing by adding more black, because you're not really doing it, it was black before you got there. So painting it more, you might think, adds nothing. You should know that it counts. Then he says, "Va'ayin be'avnezer simen kuf lamed aleph." So those are the parts of like a Magen Avraham. If you're learning Shulchan Aruch, you're like, "Yeah, I'm sure it says something in be'avnezer simen kuf," you know, whatever. But like, you got to look it up because he's trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us something. So what does it say there? What's he trying to tell us? Says the Shulchan Aruch, so luckily for you, it's right here in source number 6. Get shekasvu shalo l'shma. If you have a get that was written shalo l'shma, afal pi shehevril of kulmus l'shma, even if you then write on top of it l'shma, ain't no get! Whoa! You know, the Magen Avraham just got through saying, oh, okay, if it's already black, just color over it again, because coloring over again always works. You know, it works by a Sefer Torah, it's totally fine. Yeah, check out what it says in Ebenezer. But he doesn't really want us to check out what it says in Ebenezer, does he? Because if we do, then we're going to see that he's wrong. He says, ain't no get. You write it over again and you do l'shma. Guess what? That's not a ksiva. You didn't accomplish anything. Prima Gadim calls him out on this. Prima Gadim in Eshal Ram, Sivkan Zayin. Says, Magen Avraham got the. He says, first of all, he got the reason of the Rabbanan wrong. And his reference proves to Ebenezer, proves against him. Doesn't prove for him. The Bir Halacha discusses, so what do you do now? You know, if you don't like the Magen Avraham's Eitza, what do you do? So Bir Halacha says, maybe an idea, if you can't find other straps, would be color them some other color first. Now they really need Ashkara. You can color them white. Now they really need to be blackened, and then color them black. That lechora would certainly solve the problem. What about doing the following? What about just flipping them over and coloring the back black? Would that work? So that's a suggestion that's made by some of the poskim, and we're going to have to figure out what that suggests to us. Let's actually use that to get into the double sided film. Yeah. The black side has to be showing out, so you just change to the other side.
No, but like there's a specific part of your skin that needs to be facing out.
That there's it by the rituals. Where does the Gemara say? Show me the one. There has to be. Yeah, find him by the rituals. Where do you have? No, you have by the tefillin, by the ksav of the. where you write, that you're supposed to write on a certain side of the skin, right? The cloth where you're supposed to write. Okay, while you look for that, I'm just going to go into this discussion about the double-sided black ritzua. So obviously, you know, the biggest... If you wanted to have... to prove that it's okay and even preferable to have black on both sides of your ritzuos, you don't need to look very far. We've already seen. Where do you need to look? Who do you look to tell you that it's a good thing, good idea? The Rambam, right? The Rambam. He said it. The Rambam was explicit that the reverse side of your tefillin should match your batim, and the best way to do that is make them all black. So, like, it shouldn't be such a controversy. It's a Rambam. Okay, you don't have to paskin like the Rambam. But to get all agitated when people do paskin like the Rambam, there are people that are very angry about this. It's the Rambam. So where does this all come from? Why would people be upset about this? Problem is, Beis Yosef quotes this Rambam in Siman Lamed Gimel, and then adds three words. V'ein noagin kein. We do not have this minhag. As I mentioned to you, the Radvaz is in Chilke Simen and Gimel, says that the Rambam understands that it's part of Noi Mitzvah. It's the Chuvus Maram Bris, Chilke Beisim Pei Zayin, who says that black is not objectively beautiful, but Halacha L'Moshe Misinai makes it so. Maram Bris says, meaning... The Radvaz suggests that it must be Noi Mitzvah because the only color we know we need by Tefillin is the front of the Ritzuos need to be black. So it must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Megala to us that black is objective beauty when it comes to Tefillin. Says Maran Brisk, I don't know that. Maybe Ein Lecha Bo Lechidusha. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is Mechadish to us that this part of the Tefillin has to be black. And maybe the rest of it you should just make as beautiful as you can and nothing to do with black. Darkei Moshe also quotes Ashkenazi Rishonim that say that it's Noi Mitzvah to have the reverse side black, and the Darkei Moshe also concludes with those three magic words, V'ein Noagin Kein. So V'ein Noagin Kein can be translated in two ways. How could it be translated in two ways? What are the two ways you could translate V'ein Noagin Kein? One is we happen not to have that practice. And one is, we ought not to have that practice, right? We should not have that practice. So that's really the whole issue. What's the ve'ino? Is this like a minug that we have to follow? That our minug was never to make both sides black? Or is it not really a minug that we have to follow? So in the Sefer Inside Stam, which we've been using extensively for the past few weeks, in the back of the Sefer, in chapter, he has Hebrew essays. So in chapter 6, he quotes from a Gadol Echad B'Yerushalayim, without identifying the Gadol Echad B'Yerushalayim. So I emailed him and I asked him, why wouldn't you identify him? And he said, because the original version of the Sefer is he really went after him and he was really disrespectful, so he didn't want to say his name. But he said, if you give a balanced approach, then you could quote him by name. Okay? So I'm going to give a balanced approach. His name was Rav Yisachar Dov HaKohen Eichhorn. He's an American-born big, big Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. I never heard of him, but apparently he wrote dozens of Svarim. Okay. So Rabbi Mendelwitz has a friend who asked a shaila to this Rabbi Eichhorn about the double-sided tefillin, and he wrote him a personal tshuva. I mean, this was not printed in the Sefer. He wrote him a personal tshuva, so Rabbi Mendelwitz included that tshuva in the back of his Sefer. And essentially what he does is he makes four arguments why it should be black. Why the backside should be black. He says, it's not because... First he says what it's not because. Lo mishum ma shehem mashchirim tachtis haretzua amarti kein. He says, I don't really care if the reverse side is black. That's not why I think these ritzuos are better. Which is like, whoa, you expect him to lead with the Rambam, right? You expect his first thing to be, you know, the Rambam and the Rambam quotes in Rezeruah like this. Like, these are G'dolei HaRishonim, that it's Noi Mitzvah, the Rush. You expect him to lead with that. He says, no, I know Ein Noagin Kein. We're not concerned with that. For whatever reason, we don't think that that's Noi Mitzvah. That's not why I think it needs to be, that the reverse side should be black. Not because I care that the reverse side is actually black. But he says, practically, what happens when they make both sides black? How do they make both sides black? You know, if you ever look at your ritzuos, there's like, you know, the backside feels like leather, and the front side feels like this glean, you know, like this, it's smooth, it's almost like not even, and some of them, they found, aren't even part of the leather, that they've, that they just peel right off. It's like a black sticker that they just like stuck over the leather. It was a big scandal that half, you know, a lot of people had ritzuos that were possible. I remember we had guys come to my shul a couple of years ago. Someone, a very nice fellow, Mish Smith, sponsored these guys to come and check everyone's tefillin, but not in the way that you think. Not by opening them up and reading the parshios. Because that said, you know, that most of the time, if you had them checked once, they're not going to change. If you had them checked, shouldn't say that. If you have them checked by someone that you know is good, and knows how to check tefillin, they're not going to change. I know several people that had their tefillin checked twice every 7 years, and at the age of 35 found out that their tefillin were missing a letter, and were always puzzled, and just the people that checked weren't so good at checking. But if you know that they were checked really, really well, by someone who knows what they're doing, they're probably never going to change. But you know what does change, and this is why I recommend people get their tefillin checked, not because I think the parshios are going to change, but because batim get nicked, discoloration happens. So this guy brought someone to just check the outside of people's tefillin, and to check how they're wearing their tefillin. Make sure that they're not wearing them in the wrong place. How many knots in the back of people's head are totally in the wrong place? They have their, you know, they have the knot of the tefillin underneath the hair in the back of their head. It's like crazy, way off. You know, the top part of the knot is supposed to be on the bone, and the bottom part of the knot in the little crevice, in the little like hole in the back. So a lot, most people put it way lower than that, which is really not right. So that's what these guys came to check, and they took one guy's tefillin right away, and they just peeled right off all the black of the ritzuos. And he had these ritzuos that were this scandal. So this Gadol Echad B'Yerushalayim writes, El Mishum Masha Matzius Hu Shebe'ilu HaRitzuos HaShachar Shel Tzadchus Safug Amuk B'Toch HaRitzua Harbe Yoser Me'er Ritzuos Shem Shchorus Rak L'Tzadchus. He says, when you only have the black on one side of the ritzua, the depth of the blackness is not that great. It's really just on the external surface. How do they make the double black ritzuos? They dip the whole thing in the dye to the point that it goes through and through. That if you rip it open at any point, you'd see black all the way on the inside. And therefore, discoloration doesn't happen. Because even if the outer layer peels, what's behind that outer layer is still black. So he thinks it's worthwhile because it's not going to peel or become discolored, because even if it does peel or become discolored, it's still going to be black. Why wasn't this always the minhag? Meaning he acknowledges, ain't no again kain, the keep, you know, the what more do you need? Both the Mechaber and the Ramah say, ain't no again kain. Why wasn't it always the minhag? So he says maybe their dyeing methods were different, and they probably didn't peel as much back in those days because they had different dyeing methods, so they weren't as concerned about it. Then he says they also probably didn't have the technology to do this properly. They probably just would have colored it on the back, colored it on the front. They probably didn't have the technology to allow the dye to go through and through. But isn't it yuhara to do something so different than everybody else? Right, you're going to everyone else. Your Rosh Yeshiva goes and he wears tefillin that only is one side black, but you're frumer than him, so you're going to have it both sides black. Isn't that a violation of yuhara? So he says, it's not your ra if there's a good reason to do it, la halacha. It's your ra when everyone acknowledges that it's a chumrah.
Would the good reason be the Rambam, what she said?
He doesn't even quote the Rambam.
So what's the good reason, la halacha?
Because it would peel. And when it peels, it often causes discoloration. I don't know. That's not a chumrah? A chashash that it might peel and you won't notice it in time to color it? That seems like a chumrah. That's not a good reason la halacha. I mean, that's a chumrah. I think that's the definition of yuhara. Rav Shachter would tell us that when we're davening in a shul where the shul rabbi doesn't stand for Kriyas HaTorah, we should make sure not to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. It's yuhara. You're going to be more machmir than the shul rabbi. So he told us not to, you know, he said you go along with whatever is done over there. So he asked, how can I wear tcheles if no one else is wearing tcheles? You're not going to not do a mitzvah d'oraisa just because everyone else decided not to do a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's ridiculous. That's not called yora. The whole shul decided, you know what, we don't wear tefillin. You should still wear it, you know, if you have a... Okay, I'm not talking Chol HaMoed, I'm talking, you know, right? So that's a different story. That's a real reason la'alacha when you're talking about if you hold that it's taka chiyuv d'oraisa. Yeah.
Or not know he came because... Like,
do
we really know why?
Is it? Oh, so they didn't say, right? No one explained why Einogin came. I would assume the Einogin came is because we don't hold that that's my mitzvah. Meaning, we don't hold that that's the definition of beauty. And what it might relate to is whether there's such a thing as beauty as noi mitzvah, as zekei livan veyu, on something that's not seen. Which is, we sort of skipped it, but I do hope to have a share about it still. Tulsus and Lamed Beis, as I mentioned yesterday, I think, discusses parshios of tefillin. If it's not seen, maybe there's no noi mitzvah. So is the chashash that it might turn around for a moment and get flipped around for a moment and someone will see it, that's seen enough that it's going to be called noi mitzvah? Or does the Ram just think that even if it's not seen, that would still be included in noi mitzvah? Anyway, these are the four arguments that he makes. The fifth argument that he doesn't make, because he's a posek as opposed to mekubal, is that they say al pi kabbalah that in the Sefer HaKavanos in Inyan Tefillin Drush Dal, they quote that the Arizal is makbid to have black on both sides. So apparently al pi kabbalah there's reason to assume that that one should have, whoa, it's late, that one should have black on both sides. Now the arguments against having black on both sides are presented by Rabbi Mendelitz in the Sefer. I just didn't have the time to type up the whole chapter, so you can come take a look again if you're interested later. But he makes several arguments against. First of all, what? Rabbi Mendelitz in the Inside Stump. First of all, he says it's not so simple to change a long-standing minhag, and he's not the only one that says this. In the Munkacher Rebbe wrote a sefer called Minchas Eluzer, and he also wrote a sefer called Sefer Os Chaim V'Shalom. So in a sefer Os Chaim V'Shalom, the Munkacher Rebbe, I think that's the same one, also wrote a sefer called Divrei Torah, if I'm not mistaken. One of the Munkacher Rebbe's, because that's the famous story they tell about the Satmar Rebbe. Did I tell you guys that story? The Satmar Rebbe was had a very sharp tongue. If he didn't like things, you knew that he didn't like things. He was very open in his criticism. So he didn't like the sefer Divrei Torah that the Munkacher Rebbe wrote. And he said the reason he had to call it Divrei Torah is because otherwise no one would have been able to identify it. So... anyway, so in the Sefer Os Chaim V'Shalom, it's pretty sharp, right? In the Sefer Os Chaim V'Shalom, the Munkacher Rebbe writes that's the real reason why we don't do it. Meaning, if both the Mechaber and the Ramah are on record that ain't Noagim Kain, you're not allowed to change Menhagim. Menhagim Yisrael or Kodesh, you can't go changing Menhagim. Furthermore, the Mishaburin Simlam Gimel Sivkat in your test talks about how frequently discoloration happens at points of distress along the tefillin, you know, right where you tie it on the yad. Well, what's he talking about? Why don't they just suggest double dyeing and then you won't have that problem at all? Why is he going through all these issues? Mishabur is machmir everything, right? He always says, oh, k'day lachmir about this, k'day. So say, no, k'day lachmir, you don't have to worry about any of it. But he doesn't say that. Furthermore, we always have a concern whenever we're going to accept a chumrah that was never accepted in previous generations, so there's always a concern of motzi laz al rishonim. The exact parameters of that are up for discussion, but it would seem that if you're going to take a new minhag that nobody did before, and people, it's not that they weren't aware of it or that they didn't have the opportunity to do it, they didn't know how to do it. No, they all discussed it, and they said einogin kein. So it might be motzi laz al rishonim. Also, Rashi in Lamed Hei Amud Beis, when he talks about Noyehen Levar, right, that the beauty of it should be on the outside, so Rashi has two Lishonos, and the Lishna Achrina is very clear that the reverse side was not black. So if that's the case, It's clear that was not the minhag there either, according to Rashi. Furthermore, from the fact that the Gemara is concerned that it's havchalei ritzua, that the ritzua will turn over, the Gemara is making the assumption that it's only black on one side. Meaning, the Gemara didn't suggest to make a black on both sides. So there are many, many poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman in Alicha Shlomo, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld in Salmas Chaim, you know, some kralts, they weren't concerned for the discoloration, because where does the discoloration normally happen? Where you fold it into the, after you finish wrapping your shaliyad and you fold it around to tuck it in, so that's where a little discoloration, okay, lo nora, that's well past the shir orech haretzua. So it's not even so pasha that it needs to be black over there. So we're not so concerned. There are also other arguments that are made against it. Rosh Sturmbach and Shufus Vanagas Chedel Peis and Luchav Beis understood from the Brisker Rav that since the only benefit is Noi, and it doesn't appear beautiful to us, meaning Noi should be determined more subjectively, so he thought that maybe it's Chashash Chatzitza, that if you have dried up dye, if you're putting more dye than necessary, just leave it raw. Because by putting more dye there, and if dye dries up and like clumps a little bit, that could be a chatzitza. You're going to wrap your tefillin shel rosh, let's say, around your head, and it's going to be a chatzitza on the shel rosh. That's a brisker chumrah, to be choshish for that, but that's what he suggests. They also, some of the poskim suggest that if you flip them around, then it's malam b'kodesh v'lo maridin. That if it's so easy to just flip them around, so that could be a problem, malam b'kodesh v'lo maridin. But also, there is a discussion in poskim about the edges of the ritzuos. I mean, okay, so we discussed the back. Do the edges, do the sides need to be black? So in the Keses HaSofer, Simluchav Gimel Sif Beis, he says that it might be part of the Halacha Moshe Messina that they should be black as well. However, it's clear from the Prima Gadim not that way. Because Prima Gadim is one that suggests that if you had a Hashchara Shalol Lishma on one side, Prima Gadim says, no problem, flip him over and blacken the other side. Right? He doesn't say go over it again. He passes, he can't just go over it again. Just flip him over and blacken the other side. But if the edges need to be black, so the original Ashkara Shalol Lishma included the edges also. So then how does flipping over blacken the other side help? The edges are still not going to... So it must be that the edges don't need to be black. And in fact, that was the minhag of the stipler and the chaznish, that they didn't... And also where you cut it, where you slice it, also doesn't need to be black. And they bring a raya from the Baruch Shamar, because the Baruch Shamar talks about blackening the tefillin. He says you should make the ritzuos black and then cut them down to size. So the fact that you're making them black before you cut them down to size shows you that the place where you're cutting it doesn't need to be black. Maybe because it was painted. Right, that I gave it the smooth feel.
I mean, you said it's 2-7-8, it says you smooth it and then you dye it.
Shemi and Nirmi,
Bechotos,
Nachan, Nayen,
Shalvet. It's a very much course. You smooth one side and then you dye it black. If you took the other side of your tefillin, you just painted it black, that stuff that's still like.
You don't think the paint would make it smooth?
Why would it make it smooth?
Because a coat of paint.
There's a clear difference between the side that's black, very smooth, and the other side of your tefillin.
I'm not sure. I really don't know the metzius. I don't know what it looks like before they, you know, before they do it. I don't know the metzius.
See, why would he say that would smooth it out if it wasn't original? If the dye would just smooth it out, why would he?
I'm not sure. I have to look at the Rashi carefully. I guess we didn't have time to get to the Tashmisha Kedusha. But I do want to do it. So maybe we'll start with that tomorrow. Tashmisha Kedusha, Tashmisha Mitzvah, Rav Shechter, and Rav Elchanan. I also want to do a shiur on lefties and people who are half lefties and what arm to put tefillin on, because that's also sugya that's going to come Lamed Vav and Beis, going over to Lamed Zayin and Aleph. So we'll see. I'm not sure what we'll start with tomorrow. So we'll have to figure it out. I'll let you know.